you ever stopped, paused, to think that Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, began at one time in history, at one specific geographic location? Jesus was born into datable history at a factual location, not into some never-never land or magical universe. Jesus was born some 2,000 years ago at a specific time and in a specific historical place. Yet on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and this first Sunday of Christmas, the good news of great joy is heard all over the world. Christmas bells have rung out, songs are sung, the angelic proclamation is made, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the proclamation of good news rings out not only here in London, but in New York, in Athens, in Tokyo, and also in places of great Christian heritage like Canterbury, Iona, Nazareth, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. God in Jesus Christ has intersected history, become a very true reality for the world. Indeed, this is good news. Good news that has been passed down to us throughout the ages. The great story of Mary, of Joseph, shepherds, angels, a star, wise travelers, the birth of a child. We've heard this story of great news. And what is more, I imagine that each in our own ways, we have lived out this Christmas story. We've lived it out over these past few days. We've experienced in various ways, at various places, the heavenly song of angels, the cry of a child, the excitement of receiving or giving a gift. We've all been given the Christmas gift of the Christ child. We've not received an empty box addressed to no one or addressed to just anyone, but we've received a great gift of joy with our very own name written on it. And the gift that we receive at Christmas is not a gift that we can leave in a box. We can't leave it on a shelf somewhere or tuck it away in a drawer. It's not a gift that we can take to the store and return. But it's a gift, a personal gift for us. One that we must celebrate, one that we must share with everyone we meet. Our Christmas story this morning from John's Gospel doesn't have any shepherds, doesn't have any angels, doesn't have a Mary or a Joseph. John tells the Christmas story a little bit differently. For John, the Christmas story began at the beginning, the very beginning of all things. John says that the Word became flesh and blood and moved in among us. John would say that this continues to happen even today, that God continues to move in to the neighborhood, existing in flesh and blood. And John asks, do we see Jesus? Do we recognize him? I think that John's story presents us with three gifts this morning. A one-size-fits-all gift, a gift that keeps on giving, and a gift of surprise. A one-size-fits-all gift. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. Jesus, the Word, has given us unprecedented access to God. God is not far away in some other place. But in Jesus, come as a child, we have direct access to God through this baby born in Bethlehem. A baby who experiences life as we experience it. Has joy and excitement in moments in life, and also pain and anguish in other moments. It's kind of a radical, mind-blowing thought, if you pause, to think that God came to be with us and among us and experiences life as we do here on earth. The God who was at the very beginning, before all things, in all things, God came to be with us. John Calvin, one of the great reformers, writes this about Jesus coming to be with us as a baby. For how great is the distance between the spiritual glory of the Word of God and the filth of our flesh. Calvin didn't have a very high view of human beings or humanity. He thought that so often we got it wrong. But this is one of these moments where God gets it right, and we give thanks for that. But despite that distance between God and us, God came. God comes again and again to be with us. And so often when we read this story or think about God coming, we like to pretend or believe that God came for just certain people, or a special few people, or those who've got it all right, or the really good ones, or just those people. But that's not what the story ever tells us. It says, the Word became flesh for all people. Everyone. Absolutely everyone. And not only every person, but the whole world. Everything in the whole world. God came for all of it. Sometimes in the church, we like to think we have some kind of stranglehold or monopoly on who God is with or for. The beginning of John's gospel reminds us that is not the case. God is for and with everyone. God gives power for all who believe to become children of God. The Word becoming flesh is a one-size-fits-all gift. It's also a gift that keeps on giving. We've received this gift of the Word revealing eternal grace and truth. We've seen God's glory, the story tells us. We've seen God's glory full of grace and full of truth. John's gospel speaks of the nature of Jesus' mission in the world. The Word revealed in Jesus Christ in his birth, his life, his ministry, his dying, his rising, gives us access to grace and to truth, gives us access to eternal life, full life. The birth of the Christ child, death on a cross, and the resurrection on the third day provides this access to full life. Full eternal life. This gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. And it's one of those gifts, true of those really good gifts in our lives, that we can do nothing to earn. We can do nothing to obtain it. We can't buy it, even if we had all the money or resources in the world. But instead, it's an eternal gift that is given to us and keeps on giving to us. A one-size-fits-all gift, and a gift that keeps on giving. A gift of surprise. I think that the birth of Jesus has this ability to reach us all. It allows us to get Christmas, in a way. There was a youth group at this Presbyterian church. It was a small group, about 5 or 6 young people. And they had these 2 wonderful youth group leaders. Their names were Doug and Pat. They would plan out the details and events of these youth gatherings well in advance. They were organized. The young people had lots of fun. They enjoyed getting together. Not only did they have fun together, but they talked about their faith. They shared real experiences, things that were going on in their lives. Well, a few weeks before Christmas, Doug and Pat announced a special Christmas Bible study. Their plans for this Bible study really didn't seem to work out very well, though, at all. Doug and Pat and the young people gathered at the church that night. When they arrived at the church, there were all these other people there, meetings going on. So many people in so many meetings, they were told that they couldn't hold their Bible study at the church that night. They were kind of perplexed. So they thought, well, there's this one elder, and she doesn't live very far from the church. And this elder, you know, and all congregations have this elder, by the way, anytime the youth group, the young people need anything, well, just come to our house. Just show up. So they thought, oh, okay, we could go to this elder's house. So they all got in the cars and they drove down the street and around the corner to this elder's house. And they got out of the vehicles and they ran with enthusiasm up the front stairs and they knocked on the front door and the elder came to the door. And here's Doug and Pat and these young people standing there. And they said, well, can we come in? The elder said, well, normally, but my son is just home from university, and you can hear all the noise. All of his buddies are over, and they're hanging out downstairs right now and any other night, but I'm sorry, not tonight. And they walked away from this elder's house. And as they were walking back in the direction of the cars, Pat thought, well, the minister's house. Well, the manse, say it's not that far, it's just a little bit of a drive, but we could go to the manse, to the minister's house. So they got in the cars and they drove down that street around the corner and they arrived at the minister's house. They got out of the vehicles and they ran with enthusiasm again up the front stairs, knocked on the front door. The minister's husband answered the door. He had their infant son in his arms, looked rather confused, Doug and Pat and all these young people. And they said, well, can we come in? Well, the other kids are asleep, and as you can see, the baby is sick and still awake, and she's out supporting someone else right now like any other night, but we just can't help you tonight. I'm sorry. So the teenagers, who were feeling mightily rejected at this point in time, and the youth group leaders, who were out of ideas and rather embarrassed, walked away from the house. As they were walking back to the cars, they thought, what are we going to do? And Doug thought, well, my parents' house. We could go to my parents' house. So they got in the cars one last time. And they drove over to Doug's parents' house. They got out of the cars and they walked kind of slowly up the front steps, Doug's parents' house, and they knocked on the front door. Doug's mom came to the door. And Doug explained this rather awkward situation that they found themselves in. He said, well, could we come in? Douglas, we've had new doors and we've had new windows put in. You know this, there's dust and there's dirt everywhere. We can't have you tracking it through the whole house, not tonight, but if you want, you could hold your meeting in the garage. What? The teenager's standing there, the garage? Hold the meeting in the garage? With no other options left, they headed up the driveway in the direction of the garage. When they got to the garage door, one young person threw open the door. And they all stood there. They all stood there in shock. For inside the garage, there was a stable and there was a manger. And the young people and Doug and Pat stood on this holy ground for quite some time. And finally, after standing in this holy silence, one young person looked at Doug, and she looked at Pat, and she said, "I get it. I think I get it. I think I get it. That night, those young people had lived in the surprise of God arriving in the midst of a night where there was no room in the inn. You know, eventually Christmas does get to us all, and we're moved. We're grasped by the majesty, by the mystery of it all, even by the surprise of it all. Surprise by God who created the cosmos, the stars, the clouds, who comes as a baby in Bethlehem. Eventually we get it, and we can receive and share the gifts that we're given. A one-size-fits-all gift, a gift that keeps on giving, and a gift of surprise. Indeed, it's my hope and my prayer that throughout this season of Christmas and into the new year, that we would get Christmas and that we would share its gifts with the world, the gift of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And now to God, who is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine, be the glory and the power and the honor forever and ever. Amen.